All right, I've never used WhatsApp in my life, first and foremost. So we're just going to try to do this shit first, straight off the bat. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. Hello?
Hello.
Tony. Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you, man. I've been watching what you're doing now from afar, but you know, you want to...
Yeah, the feeling's mutual.
To brief everyone that's listening that, you know, this can be a great history lesson. You have basically made some of the greatest skateboard videos to date.
Let's see it. I made Speed Freaks and Risk It for Speed Wheels.
Okay.
And before that, I had a film called Going Off.
Like, how did you get into that, man? Like, especially back then, there weren't filmers back then, you know, that were dedicated to that. So how did you even get into that?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a childhood hobby for me. I always had cameras, and my parents had cameras. And so I had a movie camera when I was a kid, and I would make films of my friends and I skating and surfing, and started doing little performances in my house, and then graduated to renting little auditoriums and Grange halls and whatnot. And then VHS came around, and so, you know, just kept kind of shifting with the different mediums and the different times, really just doing the same thing, filming the action, you know, of what was going on around me. And because that's just what we did, that's why we did it.
You know, like looking at films from back then, I think it's so dope to kind of get a feel that you're there. You know what I mean? Like, instead of, it's not just about the tricks or the spot, like you kind of get a feel like you're in the action like that. And that, you know, that seemed to be a main focus of a lot of the films. There weren't very many videos out back then, you know, besides contest videos and stuff like that. There weren't a lot of skateboard videos out.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, you know, we had very slim pickings. It's not like now, man. You know, you jump on the internet and you're bombarded with skateboarding. You know, back then it was, I feel there was a little more of a mystery to it.
Everything that you're describing was very real back then, because backing back up to what you were saying about film was, you know, you had to get it processed, and then no one was going to see it until we put it out there. And so, you know, the only people that really were doing that kind of content creation were kind of more like nerdy skate kids that were also into film, like Mike McIntyre, Mac Dog Productions was another dude who was like my age, who we were, you know, young kids like making movies. Mac filmed a lot of the first handrail shit with in San Francisco with those guys, and then of course went on to being the most badass snowboard producer of all time. Now he does, you know, real sports, you know, the Mac of all Macs. But yeah, we were just little buddies that would help each other on our skate films. I helped him on Sick Boys, and he helped me on Going Off. When he did that video, I would cruise with him down to LA or wherever and just assist for him. And then when I did Going Off, he would kind of do the same for me. And also he had a badass projector, and I had a sick sound system because I used to like build my own speakers, and because I was doing DJing and all that stuff from also like really young. So we would collaborate on events like up in the Bay Area and down in Santa Cruz, and get that energy going of all the kids. And so kind of what you were talking about, that mystical element of what we did back then, was because not many people were doing it. So we would get all those moments and then bring it to the people. And then that would be the energy center. And from there, people would get stoked and, you know, want to skate harder and get a new board and skate with, as they saw in the movie. That's what lit the fire.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that element, to me at least, that element seems to be somewhat missing these days, but you know, everything's changed, and it changed very rapidly. And but I was just speaking to a friend about that, and I was like, that element of mystique, it's gone from skateboarding. Like that is what it's missing, in my honest opinion. The mystique. Like you see a contest, like if you hear about a contest, you don't see about it for like a couple months. You know, like that was normal. So the entire time you're developing this sense of things that you think are going on and what people are doing, and then when you see it, it creates this moment. You know, that's just missing.
I feel what you're saying, because there's so much content out there, so it can just kind of seem like that. But in reality, I believe that now with all the opportunity to produce and everything, that there is that super deep mystical like skate contest of so many different types, because everybody can produce now.
Yes.
And it, of course, if you dig in, and you know, you might find like, you know, a crazy Jim Greco film, or like guys are doing some badass stuff right now on all kind of levels, and just normal skate videos. Like for me, my favorite is Primitive videos, just the way that they always have lines, they always have like super tech tricks, but with the best style and clean, with just clean hip-hop beats that are like, that just fit with the flow of the skating, and they fit with the skater's personality. And that's what it's always been about for me, is the individuality of the skater, matching that music with that person. And also, skaters are so musical that a lot of the time back in the day, I'd be getting tracks from the skaters for their part, because that's what we wanted, was to just capture their individual essence first and foremost.
As far as running the 80s and stuff, a lot of people don't talk about Santa Cruz. And those Santa Cruz videos were, that was the antithesis to a lot of the power videos, to a lot of the street guys. You know, it was a, you didn't see as much as the ramp guys and stuff like that. It had a nice variety, I guess you could say. You know, it was more relatable.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of out there. It was way more relatable. You know, those guys weren't not superstars, but they weren't superstars to us. They were relatable to us. You know, like a lot of the Santa Cruz guys.
Totally. Like the Santa Cruz videos that a lot of guys think of from the 80s, they think of Wheels of Fire and Streets on Fire.
Yes.
Right? Those were made by a guy named Scott Dietrich.
Okay.
Who was not a skateboarder. Was not a skateboarder at all. And roller skates with like a ponytail and like
what?
The guy would rock up and you'd be like, oh man, this guy's gonna film it. So Ross Kopp and those guys, Kendall, everybody, they'd get in the editing room and tell him exactly what to do. You know what I mean? So those films were kind of a combination of a guy who knew how to make a film but wasn't really part of what was going on.
Oh wow.
So it was a challenge for those guys, for the skaters, but you had these personalities like Nottis, you know, Ross Kopp, you know, such a great team that the parts, of course, were amazing, but the wheels, the other dude's video, because those were me.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I felt like those were a lot more grimier than, you know what I mean? Like the Nottis skating on tour.
Yeah, that's...
Go ahead.
Totally, that was what I was... I just wanted to skate with the fastest guys, do lines with them, keep up with them, and just kind of put that on the map.
It's WCRP.
Video cameras just came out. So we have these small cameras that we could put tapes into. And before that, I was doing follow footage with movie cameras, you know, which were, most of them were pretty heavy. And also, like, if you fell with one of those things, it was like a bunch of metal and shit. It was gnarly. And so, like, Speed Freaks, I told Metaver, I was like, dude, I need 8 cameras because I'm going to be, like, taking gnarly slams, just breaking cameras and going for crazy stuff. And he loved that. And he did that. And he bought those cameras. My favorite guys to film were the guys who were down to go fast and do lines, because that was... Street skating was just coming out, and so you had the guys that were into skating street, and they were into skating street fast. So Eric Dressen, of course, you know, the first Speed Freaks part with him was just a thrill, because he never had a video part at that point, because he rode for Dogtown. And so the only guys who had video parts up to that point rode for either Santa Cruz or Vision or Powell. If you rode for another company, your company didn't make videos yet. Videos themselves just came out. Before that, again, it was just movie, just films, right?
Yep.
So this is the very beginning of VHS tapes and shit.
Yeah, that's especially as far as skateboard videos, you know, because like I said, it was just contest videos back then. That was besides the major production ones, you know, there was just, you know, like Skate Fest. I'm sorry?
Yeah, straight up. Because the contest guys, they had the big-ass recorders with the cameras, with the cables, like the news type of cameras, right? The very first video cameras. And once the video, like the consumer video cameras came out, like handheld small size, then that was just the dream for me for the follow footy. You know, of course, filming Tom Knox's first part was a huge highlight just because, I mean, as a filmer, and also at that point in time, they wanted a Metaver was like, dude, if somebody can skate street and they can skate ramp and they can skate pool, we want to showcase that in the video part. So talk to these guys, see what they want to skate. If they only want to skate one thing, then just film that. But if they want to skate everything, then, and so I met Tom Knox. I was like, yeah, dude, I want to film everything. And he's like, what? No way. Let's do it. And everywhere we went, he just tore it up. We filmed that in one day, that whole part.
What? What? Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. It was pool, like vert, mini ramp, ledges, flat ground. And dude was just like hammering shit down. I mean, like just so powerful and just like those curb combos, high speed, like no wax or anything. That shit was crazy.
Dude, you know what's funny that you said that too is always like when I see new footage and I see people like skating like rails and wax, I'm like, dude, you're cheating. Like, because that's not what we really grew up on. You know, like we grew up on the guys like Tom Knox who were just like, not that they weren't using wax, but you know, it was past that point. You know, like no one was, those guys weren't skating rails and stuff. You know, that's when the slick Santa Cruz board and stuff were coming out, but everyone was just ripping. There was no like handicaps back then per se. You know what I mean? Like, and everyone was ripping everything too. I think I love that era of skateboarding because I grew up skating vert at first and started skating pools and stuff. And it helped my skateboarding. So I honestly, and when I came to California, I thought everyone skated everything. I was very shocked. Things go with the time, but you know, I was there at that time where it was, you know, it was normal to be an all around good skateboarder. It was just a normal thing. Like
epic. That's so epic that you saw that, Clyde, that you, cause you barely got like the tail end of that because man, the early 90s guys who started up and the first thing they learned was like a kick flip on a shag carpet, you know, and that's a lot of those dudes now are the guys who are like telling the history of our sport and whatnot. And, you know, they don't know about like right before that, like it was such an important part of skate history and it's totally slept on.
It's WCRP.
And these dudes, they know everything about, like, from the kickflip forward, but going back, it's like just a little bit back. There's stuff that's important that they know because dudes were, like, basically all the early kickflips and all the early, like, frontside flips and all that stuff, you know, without a nose, that's tech.
That is, you know, like the stuff in the Speed Freaks video, like the noddish stuff. I'm like, dude, you can look at that stuff now and it's good now because that's how people are skating now. You know, people aren't skating that fast and like they clearly don't have a board with a nose that small and stuff like that. But to know that he was doing it on that board, you know, it's like people look at stuff like, man, that's incredible. It's like, no, you don't understand how heavy that board is. Number one, that kind of stuff like 360 ollie board slide, like him and Julian in those videos that was everything to us. You know, like I feel like when 8th Street video came out, that video was kind of forgot about almost. And I'm like, no, 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 no. We would not forget about this video, man. That's a great video.
Dude, you nailed it.
That is
nailed it 100%. That right there was the exact turning point in time. That was when because that's a perfect example. You had like Julian and Natas. They were skating fast, like pushing as hard as they could towards something and then doing the like most tech thing that they could do, like on gnarly spots too, you know. And then at that same exact point in time, you got Hensley going real slow up to an obstacle, like hunched over, throwing like 30 tries to pull something. And as amazing as it was hard for a lot of people that were coming from that speed power school to just instantly like snap their mind over and accept that when you had little kids that were just learning at that moment in time. And that's like, they see that as, you know, Michael Jordan type of stuff, which is cool. I mean, I think that's amazing because I'm like that with dudes from the 70s, you know, I'm old cat. Like my like true heroes were the guys who I saw when I was at a very impressionable age. I started skating in 1973, right?
Oh.
So I had like 7 years of the 70s, like looking at every magazine, going to every movie, and, you know, and then the 80s and the 90s, and I never stopped, you know, taking it in or skateboarding, you know, and trying to progress my own skating and in certain aspects, because if you're able to keep it, you know, the dream alive in the older age and you're proactive with, you know, that as a mission, then, I mean, who knows how long we could take it, because we're really the first generation of people who started skating when we were little kids and then never stopped our whole life. In my case, incorporating like plant-based diet since childhood, strict yoga regimen, all kinds of, just always doing everything I could do to try to, in my own mind, possibly get an edge to like skate better and surf better and be able to do it for more time. That's been my lifetime mission, really. And so that's, I think, the most like inspirational thing of the whole deal, is that we can take this as long as we want if we're proactive.
Absolutely. And you know, that's I want to build on the point you just said, because I was speaking to, I believe, Charlie Thomas about this, and we were saying like even pros back in the 80s, like they looked way healthier. I will say they look like grown men. You know, they weren't like these like skinny little sugar water babies. Like they look like healthy grown men. I don't know if it's from the diet or anything like that. So maybe that's kind of what I'm asking. Like, I don't know, man. Pros look different in the 80s. A guy like Rob Roskopf looked like my dad. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah. He didn't look like he wasn't a skinny guy like Greco and those guys and stuff like that. So, you know, I think the diet and just coming from the era that you guys skated as well. You know, like, dude, you have to be in good shape to skate that kind of stuff. A lot of people underestimate like skating bowls and pools and growing up and skating that stuff. You have to be in excellent shape to skate that stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was genes, because I tell you what, those guys ate like crap.
Yeah.
I tell you, like, I was always trying to find something healthy to eat and cooking my own stuff on the side, you know, and watching them going, man, you guys aren't going to be able to get away with this forever. You know? And, you know, of course, the partying back then, we all went just completely wild. It's amazing that any of us that are still alive are still alive.
I'm sure.
I think it was a lot of it was genes, you know. You had like Hosoi and you know, like these dudes were, you know, like athletic and flamboyant, and, you know, like jump skaters were like superheroes.
Yes, they were. Yeah, 1,000%. They were our personal superheroes. That's great. Like our culture had heroes, you know, and skateboarding grew really fast, you know, because as you said, you started in 73, correct? And skateboarding was fairly kind of new then. Not new, but, you know, it's probably what, in its infantile stage, first 10 years, you know, getting kind of recognizable on that stage, or everyone skating, or, I mean, I could be wrong. I was born in 74.
No, you nailed it. Like, I think urethane wheels, that was a difference.
Okay.
Before urethane wheels, it was like clay wheels and steel wheels. So you couldn't do a proper turn, you know, because, of course, we're talking, you want to be surfing on, you know, on the driveway or on the street. So once urethane wheels came out and you could carve down the street, oh man, that's when it all started. So like 75, 76,
Oh, wow.
The Cadillac wheels. Then Road Riders came out in Santa Cruz, actually, California, you know. And when Road Riders came out, they had the Precision Bearings, the first ones, and that was a whole nother, like, leap up in the history. And so that's the pools and start leaning into their turns and man, what continues on to this day to the point that we're sitting here talking about it, Clyde, it's magical.
I think that's so awesome. You know what I mean? Like I mean, honestly, being a kid and watching the videos that you made growing up, I would, you know, you're just like, dude, this is awesome. Like, we have a connection where we're talking, like, you know, 35, 40, that's awesome. To me, that is absolutely awesome. Oh, and that's the power of skateboarding. You know, a lot of people like to complain about skateboarding, and, you know, and you have to be honest with yourself. This is the best thing that's probably happened to anyone.
No,
like,
doubt.
You know, it's one of the few things that a lot of people, I'm 49 now. It's one of the few things a lot of people that they dearly hold on to, and they have since they were a kid. And there's not many things like that. You know, like, most people met their wives in their 20s or something like that, but it's something you dearly, dearly hold on to. And, like, you know, like, when you see someone or when you see a curb, it's like, it's almost like it's just never going to go away. It's crazy. It's really weird. It's never going to go away. You know, I feel like I'm going to be 70 and driving by a ledge and, like, oh man, or like driving by a little transition.
Hopefully you'll have your 70-year-old spots, man, where you can just rock up and take a couple snaps and, like, get back in the car and keep rolling and still have that. That spark, because that's what it's all about. Doesn't matter what generation you started. It was like that first setup you had. It doesn't matter if, like, those first trucks you bought, it doesn't matter if they were Bennett Pros or Half Tracks or Lasers or Indies or Ventures or Royals or, you know, any phase of trucks that you came through. Like, those first trucks, bro, with those brand new wheels and the brand new bearings, and then you went out and you rode it and your skating just went up a full notch. And
yep.
You know, for me it was probably a front side grind, you know, for you it was something else, and like the early 90s, you know, late 80s.
You know, I wanted to tell you about this. I saw a recent interview of Salvo, and I fucking love that guy. Like, honestly, I love that dude, because he's one of those dudes that's been skating since the 70s, correct? Like, he skated, yes. From what I understand, the first pool contest. He won the first pool contest, correct?
Yeah.
The fact that he is still skateboarding. The fact that he is still skateboarding is absolutely amazing. That is amazing. To someone like myself, I'm like, dude, I will never quit skating, ever. Like, if that dude's still skating and he's out there and he's loving it and he's just, like, out of respect for that guy. Like, one hands down, man.
Dude, especially his style of skating. Gnarly backyard pools that are like super hard to even do a grind, and he's doing just blazing lightning speed, like, lines that you're not even going to think about trying, like, you know, figure eights and the craziest lines and linking it up. And then it's remarkable. You know, I've got to skate with him, you know, a few times in the last several years, and it's just,
it's awesome.
It's just mind blowing.
It's WCRP.
You know, I want to ask you this too. Were you on the Cadillac tour?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Dude.
No, dude.
The Cadillac tour.
Dude,
stuff like that is missing. Like that's another thing that's missing from skateboarding. Random tours like that where they just throw some pros in a car or van and, like, just go. Like, everything's so pretty and proper now. It's like, no, dude. The beauty of it.
Julian filmed most of that. Julian filmed most of all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
And there was this dude, he was a team manager. He didn't really skate. I can't remember his name, but he filmed a bunch of it too. And they were sending us the tapes, bro. And you can imagine when we got those, we were just going, oh my God, these guys are on fire. Those guys on that water pipe walking across the river still, bro, puts me in stitches.
Those guys just going to town at like those demos was like you weren't seeing anything like that. You know, like, as I said, like, when 8th Street came through, it was like almost like that was wiped away. And it was like, no. Hold on really quick. Really loud lightning. Hold on.
He was so original and just killed everything. And I mean, of Galilee.
Was that his first video part? No. Was it?
No, he was. He had a. No, he had
he
a
was
Powell,
Powell
video part.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Because he was running through the. I don't know why I forgot about that. Where he's running through the cemetery. I always forget he rode for Powell because he rode for Powell like three times or something. So I always, you know, what I mean, I mix up his second time and forget about his first time. But that I saw that.
So do you remember his intro to Speed Freak?
No, hold on. Speed Freak. Intro to Speed Freaks. Mini ramp? No. He did skate a mini ramp to Speed Freaks. No?
No, he skated street. He was busting like schoolyard lines and stuff. A lot of follow footage over
where
the
he
hips
did where he did the front side 5-0 on the bench and the line in the schoolyard, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm mixing up his rubbish sheep and like that timeline for me with Mike Villas. There was a lot going on. Yeah, there was a lot. He was coming in hot. Like seriously, he was coming in hot, and there was a he had like four video parts within 2 years there between Rubbish Sheep that I know he had just gotten off Powell 1000%. So
yeah, his intro, because I asked him what he wanted to do for an intro for his part, and so we went to a graveyard, and he made like he was going to run into the graveyard, and then he stops and he looks at the camera and he goes.
Whoa, you there?